History remembers Lord Godfrey as the Beast of Winterborne, a ruler who conquered armies but was broken by a single sentence. When he tried to replace the woman who built his empire, she didn't scream. She simply handed over her crown and walked away. He never recovered. Here is their true story. According to the fragmented chronicles penned by Brother Anselm in the winter of 1428, the werewolf packs of the northern reaches were not the romanticized, moon-howling beasts of modern folklore. They were feudal lords, bound by blood magic, brutal territorial wars, and the desperate struggle for survival. At the heart of this harsh world was Lord Godfrey of House Ashford, the alpha of the Winterborne Pack. Godfrey was a man carved from ice and iron, a brilliant tactician on the battlefield, but an impoverished ruler. When he first took the mantle of alpha in 1412, Winterborne was a dying territory. The crops had failed, the rival Ironwood Pack was bleeding their borders dry, and his people were starving. It was in this crucible of despair that he claimed his Luna, Lady Rowena of House Arryth. Rowena was not a fated mate, a concept often weaponized by the weak to justify reckless desires. She was a strategic choice, a minor noblewoman known for her terrifying intellect and unwavering spine. But the bond they forged in those early, desperate years transcended any mere twist of fate. While Godfrey shed blood on the front lines to secure their borders, Rowena built his empire from the mud up. She was the one who rationed the grain during the Great Famine of 1414, earning the undying loyalty of the common folk. She negotiated the Oakhaven Treaty, securing a lucrative trade route for lumber and pelts. She stood on the battlements in the freezing rain, heavily pregnant with their first child, directing the archers when the Ironwood forces attempted a siege while Godfrey was miles away. She was not just his wife. She was the architect of his legacy. The pack did not just respect her. They revered her. Her scent, a calming blend of crushed pine needles and wood smoke, became synonymous with safety in the keep. Godfrey himself was fiercely protective of her, their bond sealed in shared trauma and hard-won victories. "You are the anchor to my wolf," he was recorded saying during the Feast of St. Jude in 1418. "Without you, Winterborne falls." But peace, as the chroniclers note, is a dangerous thing for men bred for war. By 1422, Winterborne was wealthy, secure, and powerful. Godfrey's reputation as a fearsome alpha spread across the realm. Men bowed when he walked into a room, rival lords sent tributes, and with that absolute power came the quiet, insidious rot of arrogance. The struggles that had tethered him to Rowena were gone, replaced by the sycophantic whispers of his court. The turning point occurred during a diplomatic summit in the opulent southern courts of the High Cross territory. Godfrey went alone, leaving Rowena to manage the harvest festival. It was there he met Lady Cecily. Cecily was everything Rowena was not. She was a pure-blood werewolf of an ancient southern lineage, smelling of intoxicating lavender and sweet honey. She was young, untested by war, and possessed a submissive, fawning nature that stroked the dormant ego of Godfrey's inner wolf. More dangerously, the High Cross lords whispered that Cecily and Godfrey shared a true alignment, a rare, fated resonance that promised unmatched magical strength for his bloodline. When Godfrey returned to Winterborne 3 months later, he did not return alone. The castle courtyard was blanketed in fresh snow when the heavy oak doors swung open to admit the Alpha. Rowena stood waiting on the steps, flanked by the captain of the guard, Kaelin, and the head steward, Ewan. She wore the heavy silver torque of the Luna, her posture perfect, her face breaking into a rare, genuine smile at the return of her husband. But as Godfrey dismounted, he turned and offered his hand to a figure stepping out of a gilded carriage. Lady Cecily emerged, draped in expensive southern silks and heavy white furs. The immediate shift in the pack's dynamic was palpable. The guard stiffened. Ewan dropped his ledger. Rowena's smile vanished, her sharp eyes taking in the proprietary way Cecily clung to Godfrey's arm, and the way Godfrey's scent had aggressively merged with the cloying sweetness of lavender. "Rowena," Godfrey announced, his voice echoing in the cold air, devoid of the warmth he usually reserved for her. "This is Lady Cecily of High Cross. She is an honored guest and a vital ally to our pack. You will see to it that she is given the finest chambers in the Eastern Wing. The Eastern Wing. The chambers meant for the Alpha's immediate kin. Rowena's face remained a mask of flawless stone. She did not bare her teeth. She did not growl. She simply bowed her head a fraction of an inch. Welcome to Winterborn, Lady Cecily. We shall ensure your stay is accommodated. It was the beginning of the end, though Godfrey, blinded by the novelty of his new plaything and his own hubris, could not see it. The deterioration of a powerful dynasty rarely happens overnight. It is a death by a thousand cuts. For Rowena, the cuts were methodical, public, and profoundly humiliating. Within a month, the dynamics of Winterborn had warped beyond recognition. Cecily, emboldened by Godfrey's constant protection and infatuation, began to overstep her bounds as a guest. It started with minor transgressions. She ordered Beatrice, the head cook, to change the menu for the winter feast, replacing the hearty, traditional meats of the north with delicate southern pastries that did nothing to sustain the wolf pack's fierce metabolism. When Beatrice looked to Rowena for permission, Godfrey intervened, chastising the cook for disrespecting Lady Cecily. Then, the disrespect bled into pack politics. Cecily began attending the Alpha's war councils, a privilege explicitly reserved for the Alpha, the Luna, and the generals. She would sit beside Godfrey, whispering in his ear, offering naive, sheltered opinions on border patrols that Godfrey surprisingly entertained. Rowena bore it with a terrifying, stoic grace. She continued her duties. She balanced the treasury, managed the harsh winter rationing, and held the loyalty of the common wolves who looked at the southern interloper with quiet disgust. Rowena tried to speak to Godfrey in the privacy of their chambers, appealing to the man she had bled with. "She is disrupting the hierarchy, Godfrey," Rowena warned him one evening, her voice low, the firelight casting long shadows across her face. "The men are restless. You are making a mockery of our laws to accommodate a girl who does not understand our survival." Godfrey had laughed a dismissive, patronizing sound that made Rowena's blood run cold. "You are jealous, Rowena. It is beneath you. Cecily brings an alliance with Highcross that doubles our military strength. Furthermore, her bloodline is pure. The elders believe she is my fated resonance." "I built your military strength," Rowena whispered, her voice dangerously quiet. "I secured this fortress when you were nothing but a starving boy with a title. Do not speak to me of fated resonances when my hands are scarred from holding your empire together." Godfrey's eyes flashed gold, his alpha aura flaring in a blatant attempt to force her submission. "You will mind your tone, Luna. I am expanding this pack. You will learn to share the burden of leadership. Cecily stays, and you will treat her with the respect she is owed as my companion." The word hung in the air like a guillotine blade. Companion, not guest. The climax of Godfrey's folly arrived during the Feast of the Hunter's Moon, the most sacred night in the werewolf calendar. It was a night to renew oaths, to honor the ancestors, and for the Alpha and Luna to reaffirm their bond before the gathered lords, knights, and pack members. The Great Hall of Winterborn was packed with over 300 souls. The air was thick with the smell of roasted venison, ale, and the nervous sweat of the pack. Brother Anselm's records describe the tension in the room as thick enough to snap a broadsword. At the head table, the two massive oak chairs of the Alpha and Luna sat elevated above the rest. Rowena entered the hall dressed in her formal colors, midnight blue and silver, looking every inch the terrifying regal queen she was. The pack immediately bowed, exposing their throats in absolute submission and respect to the woman who had saved them from starvation. She walked toward the dais, but as she reached the steps, she stopped. There, sitting in her chair, the Luna's chair, was Cecily. The southern lady was dripping in Godfrey's jewels, wearing a smirk that failed to hide her underlying fear of the massive northern wolves surrounding her. A deadly, absolute silence fell over the great hall. 300 wolves stopped breathing. Captain Kalin's hand dropped to the pommel of his sword. Even the fire in the hearth seemed to quiet. Rowena did not look at Cecily. She looked down at Godfrey, who was seated in the Alpha's throne. Godfrey shifted uncomfortably under her piercing gaze, but his arrogance pushed him forward. He stood, raising a goblet of wine. "Pack," his voice boomed, though it lacked its usual confident resonance. "Tonight, we celebrate the Hunter's Moon. But we also celebrate a new era for Winterborn. Lady Cecily has formally accepted my offer to bind our houses. She will stand beside me as my fated consort. Lady Rowena will remain the High Administrator of the Keep, retaining her titles, but we shall share the burden of rulership. A dual arrangement, for the ultimate strength of our bloodline." He was stripping her of her power, her dignity, and her place as his true mate, wrapping the ultimate betrayal in the guise of political strategy. He expected her to bow. He expected her to accept the humiliation for the good of the pack, just as she had sacrificed everything else for them over the last decade. He thought her loyalty to Winterborn would trap her. Rowena stared at him. She looked at the man she had loved, the man she had built from ruin, and realized in that singular, crystalline moment that he was completely gone, swallowed whole by his own myth. She slowly reached up to her neck and unclasped the heavy silver torque of the Luna. The metal clattered against the stone floor with a sound like a tolling bell. "Rowena," Godfrey growled, a warning note entering his voice. "What are you doing? Sit down in the chair provided." He gestured to a smaller secondary chair placed further down the table. Rowena's voice, when she spoke, did not echo, but it carried to every corner of the dead silent hall. It was devoid of anger, devoid of sorrow. It was terrifyingly empty. "Give her my place then." Godfrey blinked, confused. "What? If she is your future Lord Godfrey, then she may have it all. The title, the burden, the debts, the wars. Give her my place." Rowena stepped back from the dais. "I abdicate my position as Luna of Winterborn. I sever the pack bond. I leave you to the empire I built." Panic flared in Godfrey's eyes. "Rowena, stop this madness. You cannot sever the bond. You are my wife. You belong to this pack. Guards." He looked at Captain Kaelin, expecting the man to block the doors. Kaelin looked at the Alpha, his expression unreadable. Then, slowly, Kaelin stepped aside. You and the steward stepped aside. Alden the blacksmith, Beatrice the cook, the knights, the foot soldiers, the commoners, they all silently parted like the Red Sea, creating a clear, wide path from the dais to the heavy oak doors of the Great Hall. They were bound by magic to the Alpha, but their souls belonged to the Luna, and they would not stop her. Godfrey's face flushed purple with rage and sudden, piercing fear. Rowena, if you walk out those doors, you leave with nothing. No title, no coin, no protection. You will freeze in the wild. Rowena paused at the threshold. She didn't look back. She simply pulled the hood of her riding cloak over her head. I came to you with nothing, Godfrey, she said, her words etching themselves into the very stones of Winterborn. And I leave you with nothing. She walked out into the freezing, howling dark of the winter night. Godfrey slumped back into his throne, trying to mask the sudden, tearing agony in his chest as the magical tether of their mating bond snapped cleanly in two. He forced a laugh, looking at the terrified Cecily and the silent, staring pack. Let her go, he sneered, nursing his bruised ego. The winter will break her pride. She will be crawling back to the gates within 3 days, begging for her place. But Rowena never came back. And within a year, Lord Godfrey would learn the devastating difference between ruling an empire and being the one who actually holds it together. The third day came and went. The heavy iron gates of Winterborn remained closed against the howling blizzards, and Lord Godfrey stood on the battlements, staring into the blinding white expanse. He waited for the trembling silhouette of his former wife to appear, driven back by frostbite and starvation. She did not come. By the 30th day, the dangerous illusion of Godfrey's self-sufficiency began to crack. The atrophy of Winterborn was not a sudden explosion. It was a slow, agonizing suffocation. It began in the ledgers. Ewan, the head steward, presented the winter accounts to the Alpha's war room. The thick, leather-bound books were filled with Rowena's elegant, razor-sharp script. But as Godfrey stared at the pages, a cold dread settled in his stomach. The ledgers were written in a complex cipher, a heavily guarded shorthand used by the merchants of the Free Cities. which only Rowena possessed the key to read. "Translate it," Godfrey barked, slamming his fist onto the oak table. "I cannot, my lord," Ewan replied, his voice deadened, devoid of its usual subservient warmth. The Luna kept the cipher to herself. She knew every debt, every grain count, every ounce of silver in the treasury by memory. "Without her, we do not know who owes us, nor who we owe." Godfrey turned to Cecily, who sat beside him in the war room, draped in heavy furs, looking thoroughly bored by the talk of grain and copper. "You are from the High Cross Courts," he demanded. "Your father manages vast estates. Break the cipher." Cecily blinked, her lower lip trembling at the sudden harshness in his tone. I was taught poetry and courtly grace, Godfrey. I am a fated consort, not a coin counter. Such things are beneath a true alpha's mate." The room fell into a suffocating silence. Captain Kalin exchanged a dark, knowing look with Ewan. It was the first time Godfrey looked at his new, beautiful, submissive companion and felt the sickening plummet of regret. Within 2 months, the Oakhaven Treaty collapsed. The lumber barons and pelt traders from the eastern forests stopped sending their caravans. When Godfrey dispatched riders to demand the tribute, the merchants sent back a solitary, blood-chilling reply, sealed not with wax, but with iron. "Our oaths were sworn to the architect of Winterborn. We do not do business with a hollow throne." As the treasury dried up, so did the food. Beatrice, the cook, had warned them that Cecily's insistence on imported southern delicacies had drained the winter reserves prematurely. By the time the harshest freezes of February hit, the pack was eating watered-down gruel. The common wolves, who once sang songs of their alpha's victories, now stared at Godfrey with hollow, resentful eyes as he walked through the lower wards. They did not blame the winter. They blamed the man who had banished their mother. But the most devastating blow was the psychological one. The faded resonance, the supposedly legendary magical bond Godfrey shared with Cecily, was a farce. Yes, her scent was sweet, and she possessed a docile nature that initially flattered him. But she possessed no alpha magic. When Godfrey tried to draw upon her strength to heal a minor sparring wound, he found nothing but a shallow, empty well. Worse, Cecily began to panic as the reality of northern life set in. Without the endless flow of gold and luxury, she grew bitter and demanding. She screamed at the servants, threw tantrums when the fires burned low, and constantly demanded Godfrey's attention. The man who had once conquered armies found himself trapped in his own keep, playing nursemaid to a spoiled aristocrat while his empire crumbled. The breaking point arrived in the spring of 1423. The snows began to melt, turning the roads to mud, and with the thaw came the wolves of the Ironwood Pack. Lord Alaric of House Ironwood was a ruthless, opportunistic warlord. He had spent years licking his wounds after Rowena had outmaneuvered him at the siege of 1414. Now, his spies informed him that Winterborn was starving, its treasury locked, its trade route severed, and its alpha rapidly losing the respect of his military. Alaric marched 3,000 hardened warriors across the border. They did not burn the villages, they simply occupied them. They met zero resistance. When Godfrey ordered Captain Kalin to rally the men for a counterattack, Kalin stood in the center of the courtyard, surrounded by the elite guard. "My lord," Kalin said, his voice carrying the weight of 1,000 unspoken betrayals. "The men have not been paid in 4 months. The grain silos are empty. We will not ride out to die for a war you started in your own bedchamber." Godfrey drew his broadsword, his eyes flashing with the golden light of an alpha's fury. "This is mutiny. I am your alpha. You are bound to obey me." "We are bound to the survival of the pack," Kalin corrected, not flinching from the naked blade. "And you, Lord Godfrey, are killing us." Godfrey was alone. He stood in the courtyard of his great fortress, the Beast of Winterborn, holding a sword against his own men, while his new mate wept hysterically from a balcony above. He had traded an empire for a sycophant, and now the bill had come due. The siege of Winterborn lasted exactly 1 day. Lord Alaric did not bother setting up trebuchets or battering rams. He simply surrounded the keep with his massive army and waited. Inside the walls, the tension was a physical pressure. Godfrey paced the great hall, a caged animal, his armor feeling heavy and useless on his shoulders. Cecily had barricaded herself in the eastern wing, sobbing and demanding a carriage back to Highcross, a carriage that would never come, as her father had immediately disowned her the moment Winterbourne's wealth evaporated, revealing the entire fated mate plot to be a Highcross scheme to bleed Godfrey dry. As the sun began to dip below the horizon, casting the stone walls in the color of dried blood, a single horn blew from the Ironwood encampment. It was the call to parley. Godfrey, refusing to show cowardice, demanded the gates be opened. He rode out alone, his direwolf mount stepping nervously over the muddy ground. He expected to meet Lord Alaric, to perhaps negotiate a surrender that would spare his life in exchange for his lands. But as he approached the center of the battlefield, the sea of Ironwood soldiers parted. Lord Alaric was there, yes, but he was not leading the vanguard. He was standing slightly to the side, his head bowed in a posture of deferential respect. Riding forward on a massive, coal-black warhorse was a woman. She wore armor crafted of dark, forged steel, devoid of any house colors. A heavy cloak lined with black bear fur rested on her shoulders. Her face was as flawless and cold as carved marble, her eyes reflecting the dying light of the sun. It was Rowena. Godfrey's breath left his lungs in a violent rush. He nearly fell from his saddle. The shock was so profound it physically paralyzed him. She was not dead. She had not frozen in the wild. She looked more powerful, more radiant, and infinitely more terrifying than she ever had beside him. Rowena? Godfrey choked out, his voice cracking. He urged his mount forward, a sudden, desperate hope flaring in his chest. You brought an army. You made an alliance with Alaric to save us, to save your home. Rowena halted her horse 10 paces from him. She did not smile. She looked at him with the detached curiosity of a scholar, examining a ruined artifact. I did not come to save Winterbourne, Lord Godfrey. Her voice cut through the evening air, crisp and absolute. I came to collect what is mine. Brother Anselm's chronicles detail the exact political masterstroke Rowena had executed during those freezing winter months. When she walked out of Winterbourne, she had not wandered aimlessly. She had ridden straight into the heart of the Ironwood territory. She had presented herself to Lord Alaric not as a refugee, but as a weapon. She offered him the cipher to Winterbourne's ledgers, the layout of every weakness in the keep's defenses, and the personal loyalty of the merchant caravans, which had sworn their oath to her, not to Godfrey's crown. In exchange, Alaric gave her command of his vanguard and a promise to execute her vengeance. This is madness, Godfrey whispered, the horrifying reality finally setting in. You are my wife. You are the Luna of this territory. I abdicated that title a year ago, Rowena replied smoothly, and I severed the bond. You felt it snap, Godfrey. Do not lie to yourself. I was a fool, Godfrey suddenly screamed, his alpha pride shattering entirely. He slid from his saddle, dropping to his knees in the mud before her horse. The Ironwood soldiers watched in absolute silence as the great beast of Winterbourne groveled. Cecily was a mistake, a parasite. The pack is dying, Rowena. Ewan, Kaelin, they need you. I need you. I am nothing without my anchor. Take my hand. Take back your torque. I will banish the Highcross girl. Just come home. He reached out, his dirt-caked hands trembling, begging for the woman he had discarded to rebuild the life he had destroyed. Rowena looked down at him. There was no pity in her eyes, no lingering warmth of the love they had once shared. He had killed that love on the dais of the Great Hall, and she had buried it in the snow. You told me once that I was the architect of your legacy, Rowena said quietly, though her words carried to the very front lines of the army. You were right. I built you from the mud, and now I am returning you to it. She looked up, her gaze bypassing the broken man on the ground to lock onto the battlements of Winterbourne. Captain Kaelin stood there, watching. Rowena raised her right hand, her steel gauntlet catching the last rays of the sun. Slowly, deliberately, Kaelin drew his sword, and with a swift, decisive motion, he struck the winch of the main gate. The heavy iron portcullis shrieked as it rose. Ewan stood behind him, carrying the heavy ledgers of the castle. The guards lowered their weapons. The pack was not surrendering to Lord Alaric. They were opening the doors for their true alpha. Rowena looked back down at Godfrey. "You asked me to give her my place," she whispered. "I did. Let her rule the ashes you created." Rowena nudged her horse forward, bypassing Godfrey entirely. The massive Ironwood army marched behind her, their boots shaking the earth. They flowed into the open gates of Winterborn without shedding a single drop of blood. Godfrey was not killed. Rowena deemed his death an unnecessary mercy. Instead, he was stripped of his armor, his titles, and his name. He was cast out into the very wilderness he had promised would break her. He spent the rest of his days wandering the northern roads, a nameless beggar haunted by the scent of crushed pine needles and wood smoke. History records that House Aerys absorbed the territories of both Winterborn and Ironwood, forging the greatest werewolf empire the northern reaches had ever seen. Rowena ruled it alone for 50 years. She never took another mate. She didn't need one. She had learned the ultimate truth of their brutal world. A crown handed to you can be taken away, but an empire you forge yourself is yours forever. He had broken her heart, but she broke his dynasty, and he never recovered. What an absolute masterpiece of medieval revenge. Rowena proved that you never underestimate the woman who built the throne you sit on. If this epic tale of betrayal, power, and ultimate payback had your jaw on the floor, you know what to do. Hit that like button, smash subscribe, and share this video with anyone who needs a reminder of their own power. Drop a comment below. What would you have done to Godfrey? See you in the next story.
Hi, my name is Fractured Oaths, the owner and manager of Fractured Oaths. After watching the video, "Give her my place then," she told the Alpha, and walked away. He never recovered. I'd really like to know what you think. How did this story make you feel? What stayed with me most was Rowena's quiet strength. She didn't fight for attention, make threats, or try to prove her worth. Instead, she walked away from a place where she was no longer valued and trusted in everything she had already built. Beneath the drama and betrayal, the story felt like a reminder that real strength often comes from knowing your value and refusing to let others define it. Do you think Godfrey realized what he had lost before Rowena left, or only after everything began to fall apart? And what moment in the story stood out to you the most? Sometimes the best response to disrespect isn't revenge, it's having the confidence to move forward and build something better. Thank you for watching and spending time with us today. If this story meant something to you, feel free to share your thoughts in the comments. And if you enjoy stories like this, consider liking or subscribing for more.